Thank you. You're so kind. You're too kind. Thank you very much. It is the Minisode this week. My name's G Money.
Andy Young.
Big C.
What's going
also,
on,
somebody nicknamed G Biggie G, and I thought that was hilarious.
Biggie G. Oh man, guys are mad. I wanted to try and change my name after so many years. How you guys doing?
It makes so much sense, bro.
Biggie G makes no sense, Andy. Zero sense whatsoever.
That's under like a bar.
Yeah, how you guys doing?
Yeah, we're good. How are you?
Oh man, I'm in pain, bruv. I'm in so much pain. So this is called the painful pod. Nah, man. We get man. To my pain in a minute. How was the weekend?
Man, now that we're talking about pain, bro, I almost lost two of my fingers today.
How happened?
Man, like I was going into an office and I wish. So like I was going into an office and you know how you push the door open? And I'm like, hey!
Oh, man. Don't even...
Bro, and the door was one of those hardwood doors, bro. Oh, it swung back and I was just
damn.
Like, bah!
Holy, man.
Like my fingers are shame. Fucking swollen. Like I had perfect looking, you know, like no stains on the fingers. Mm. Now I've got two fingers with like fucking clots on either side.
Pole, man.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, like, it happens, man.
Like I can't even like lift nothing with my fingers. Like, so I guess I can park in the, you know,
disabled bay. Speaking of which, this must be the casualty. What's it called? What's casualty department called? It's called accident and emergency. Cause fam,
yeah,
can you
emergency
believe,
thingy.
This morning, getting ready for work, I quickly stretched to pick up a t-shirt, and just felt my back just go ping. Fam, I am in agony right now. Doped up, drugged up, so. Pole, man, we're calling this podcast the Accident and Emergency Edition. Andy, are you fine?
Bruh, I'm Gucci, man. I'm good and I'm grateful for that. I don't take it for granted because who would have thought, but like, you all woke up this morning when everything
fine.
Was Gucci,
woke up
you know?
But isn't that a reflection of life? Man woke up this morning fine. Man's going to bed in pain and shit. That's crazy. How was the weekend,
Speedy
though, guys?
Recovery to you, man.
How was your weekend, Andy? Start with you.
My weekend was chill. I didn't do much, just recorded an episode of my other podcast with Neville, and Sunday met up with a friend for coffee in the evening, and that was it, man. It was
crazy.
Pretty chill. Calvin?
For real, me, I've just this weekend was pretty easy. Obviously, an amazing performance by Arsenal, winning North London Derby. That set the tone for the entire weekend, and then of course United losing against City. That's at the tour for the weekend as well. So it was a good weekend, man. Didn't do much. Only had gigs on Thursday and on Sunday at Art Club. Calvin?
My weekend, I feel like I didn't have a weekend. It was just grind. I think, you know, it all started with a podcast day, right? International Podcast Day.
Oh, yeah.
We had a full day of like so many different things happening. Then after we were done, I had like two meetings back to back. My last meeting on Friday was actually at 11.
Wow.
So finished that, got back home, rested, woke up. I had to go to Naivasha for yet another meeting. I left Naivasha at like 3 a.m. Came back. I was like, you know what? Let me see what's happening. Bro, would you believe my mom was at my house? She opened the door for me at 6 a.m.
Wow.
She looked at me. She's like, hey.
Oh, so this is
I thought
your life.
You were coming home for dinner.
Wow.
I was like, guys, but, yeah?
At least you guys are back on good terms.
Yeah, at least, right?
Yeah. An invitation for dinner from your mom is not necessarily the best thing. given her cooking standards.
The history.
So like after that, so it was a very, very busy weekend, right? Then all I did was bum on Sunday, like rest nothing. Upon rest upon rest, nothing. I was over there putting on flip from Showmax, Netflix, BTV, all of that. Yeah, man, so nice. Blessings nevertheless. Quarter four, we need to finish strong.
Got to finish up real strong, bro. Do you know what I mean?
What are you watching on Netflix, Calvin?
Bro, Netflix is confusing for me, man. Like, but you know what? Before we even started recording the podcast, because I was just settling in, I want to watch this new Kid Cudi animation.
Ah, but it's crazy, bro.
It's on Netflix?
Yeah. Bro, like...
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
I was just like... you know when you switch on the telly and it starts to show you random stuff? I was like, ah, oh, okay, because he's got a brand new album he just dropped this past Friday.
Ah, okay, I didn't know that. Kid Cudi.
But if you guys are looking...
I've been the biggest Kid Cudi fan. I like some
of
his
like,
songs, but I'm not really like a diehard Kid Cudi fan.
I like Kid Cudi actually. Like I think his second album or something. He's got some jams in there. Like you know when you're just feeling like you just wanna, you know, just zone out and listen to some shit that's not even like sonically here. It's sonically elsewhere.
Some
that
difference.
Shit is like, you know, he's even got a song called Enter Galactica. You know, like that's the his kind of shit.
Right. And that's the name of the special on Netflix. Working together.
Him and Kanye did man. Yeah.
Oh, they really did.
By the way, speaking about Kanye, Kanye's gone mad on IG again. I don't know what planet he's on this time, but he's gone off on one. Probably delete his post by tomorrow, but he's dissing some, I don't know. But he's gone off on one. What I want us to talk about before we get too carried away is all the raids on these bars across the Kilimani area, which is now extended to across the Nairobi area because the agency responsible for licensing these premises has compiled a list of over 40 establishments that they want to begin to revoke their licenses, man. What do you guys think about that? Silence.
Calvin?
There's no silence. So I've looked at it, right? Obviously, it's very politically orchestrated, right? And we know how it goes. New government, well, rather new county government and, you know, the crackdowns happen. People have to show that what they said on the manifesto is being done.
Yeah.
Cool, I get that. Some of these clubs are a bit too loud. Some of these clubs are causing quite a bit of disturbance in terms of, like, parking. I get that, right? But there's livelihoods at stake. You get what I mean?
Yep.
That is a whole economy on its own. And I've seen a lot of people talking about it. And I think I've been to places where on a Sunday you hear churches that are so fucking loud.
Yeah.
And no one says a thing. You get? So if there's going to be a crackdown in terms of how much
noise
pollution is coming from whatever establishment, be it a club or be it a church, there has to be something that's sensible. Because, bro, some of these cashiers go all night long. You don't see Nema raiding and carrying the pastor, you get, or the offertory, or the sacrament in this case.
I
get the offerings as well.
I look at it. I look at it from a very similar perspective, but also a very different perspective, because for these guys, it's not just about the situation in terms of noise. It's also about the zoning of Nairobi. And how, like, in some places, you shouldn't be able to establish or operate these places. Blah, 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 all of that. So, and then there's a talk of moving all of the entertainment stuff to the CBD or to Westlands, right? I saw an interview today where actually Robert Alai called it the vice economy, or that's what it was called, the vice economy, or economy, which is crazy.
There's actually a plan like that. So when you look at like the division, the what do I call it? For lack of a better word, the zoning of Nairobi.
Zoning of Nairobi,
demarcation, the zoning of Nairobi. Westlands is supposed to be that. Like you see that whole Westlands area, the casinos, the clubs, all of it are supposed to be like that. So on one end you have residential, you have a Sin City kinda, you know what I mean?
Right.
And then estates are estates.
But also, so here's my thing, and this is my take. As humans, we're dynamic, you know, and the areas in which we inhabit are dynamic as well, and areas change. Now, my thing is that at stake, this is not just the economy. It is not just the economies of entertainment. Of course, I feel wholeheartedly for anyone who loses a job during if these clubs all shut down, right? But also, I think there should be an element of cooperation. And incorporation, what I mean is this: there are some establishments which make no sense because of where they're positioned, and they may have to go, right? Mm-hmm. But in the other cases where the noise can be abated, where the parking can be managed, I would err on the side of livelihood. You get? In the sense mm-hmm. of like, when you, let's say you have a bar, and I'm not going to mention any bars because it's a very sensitive map, but let's say you have a bar that is in a particular hood or community. It's not loud. It's managed its sound output. Its parking is okay. And the people from the environment or the surroundings enjoy the establishment because it doesn't create any problems for them, you know. I don't think it's a wholehearted stroke with one brush thing. I think all of these licenses should have been granted on the basis of individual areas. You know what I'm trying to say? So, for example, if I have a bar in my house and I applied for a license, then the licensing authority should have come and said, listen, okay, no, you know what, Mr. G, as much as, you know, you'd love to have a bar here, you can't have a bar here because X, Y, Z. So the rot goes beyond the bars. The rot goes right back to the county. You get? So my thing is this. There are some that will have to close, no doubt, because they even though we love them and whatever, they're probably just a level of inconvenience. But I don't think it's the right way to be putting all these people out of work, fam. Not in these times, bruv. It's hard out there. Yep. And sometimes government has to have a conscience, you know?
And let's just call it what it is, G. Okay, cool. I get your point, right? You make a very, very valid point. But the way things are set up in this country and how... actually, let me not even say this country. This county, Nairobi, right? There's such a huge economy that thrives from all of these pubs. You get, like, let's look at it. There's the waiters, the waitresses, the security, the bar owners, all of the guys who are, you know, the cleaners, all of the smoky guys and all of that. Bro, have you tackled unemployment for you to come wholeheartedly and say that, or you don't need to run this? There has to be consensus. You get, there has to be, you know, you guys are told, listen, soundproof your club. Like the other day I went to a certain place, right? We're not naming names, in Lavington. Like it's within a residential area. And bro, these guys have done so much in terms of soundproofing, right? Like you literally open the door, you hear the sound, you close it, nothing is leaking. You get?
Yeah.
So it's just how it is.
Yeah,
you get, like, but this whole sound situation, sour, it can be tackled. Parking for me, bro, like honestly, and I'm going to be very selfish when I say this. So I've worked hard to buy a house, say, in this Kilimani area, right? And you know how exorbitant those prices can be. Then I'm coming home on a Friday, and I don't even have access. I'm stuck for 1 hour. Come on,
yeah,
man.
Of course.
Something's got to give.
Like I said, there are some places where it just cannot work because of that said reason, you know? But
exactly.
I just think about the livelihood. I just think about the livelihoods that are attached to these industries. I just think about the livelihoods that are attached to these industries, and that's my concern, because man, I'm telling you, bro. Like, and we always say on this podcast, no matter how much we can empathize with the situation out on road, things are thick out there.
But
in terms of employment and stuff and livelihood,
like, you know, so. Just to kind of also throw a spanner in there. So, you know, when you're constructing, say, for instance, a club, you've gone, you've gotten all of the permits and everything. How the county is supposed to do is they're actually supposed to come see what it is that you're erecting. You know, it has to go through approvals and everything, right? So if you're coming to me and saying, cool, this is an establishment that's going to have this many people, yet it doesn't have parking. How is someone at the county council approving this?
You 100%.
And then on the flip side, they're coming with all of these NEMA guys and county councils guys and saying, oh, we're going to shut it down. So that rot has to be tackled as well. That is why that is why you can't outrightly come and say, we're going to shut all of these clubs. There has to, there's a new government in place, right? All of this has to be investigated. The rot has to be tackled.
To prevent it from happening again in the future.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, so, let me name a club, right? Like, I just looked at this new club at Queens.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Bro, I saw that thing. I was like, come on, guys, let's get serious as well. We just can't throw all of the clubs in here. That thing is in the middle of a rugby place, right?
Yeah.
It has plenty of parking.
Mm.
And I'm not here trying to tear it or something. Maybe they're contravening the rules in terms of sound pollution. But for me, I was just like, okay, some of these things, though.
Yeah, and the investment in that club is crazy.
It's so nuts.
Something like that, I would say, you know, parking is fine. I guess there are some residences behind. So let's work on soundproofing this. Let's work
exactly
on soundproofing this and move forward. I'd rather a club owner have to soundproof his establishment. And also, the bar owners also have to take an element of responsibility, because a lot of these community bars sprung up during COVID, right? Because we were in our yards. We were tired. We were like tired of just looking at the four walls. So there was this place that was going to be open until maybe 5 o'clock or 7 o'clock. I would go and chill out. And a lot of them just had like
10 p.m.
Whatever it was. And then a lot of them would have just like some polite background music, some good food. And we were able to convene in our masks. Some of the club owners became greedy and tried to extend and make things bigger. And fam, there's a difference in the UK between a pub, a bar, and a nightclub. They're all very different things. A pub in the UK, it's called a public house, generally doesn't have music. Or it has like a little jukebox thing where you can go and put in like your little 10 bob and choose a song. You know what I'm trying to say? You generally don't have, it's a place where people go and have a pint and have conversation and then go home. Usually, I don't know about now, but when I was growing up, it was like they closed at 11 o'clock. And then in every area had its pub. Every area had this little pub where, like, you know, to the point where some areas became known by the pubs. So, like, you know, when you say Prince of Wales, the Prince of Wales is actually a pub in a place called Harrow Road, which Jay-Z mentioned, of course, in his song. Harrow Road in Northwest London. But, like, the place became known as the Prince of Wales because of the pub. So there's a space for pubs, and I think some of these bars had the right concept during COVID. Keep the music low, keep the food good, you know, kick people out at 11 o'clock or 10 o'clock, last drink for alcohol, because we drink as a nation, we adapted. Remember those days, man adapted to drinking earlier. And then when those places close, man them can move on to the nightclubs. And that's how it's supposed to work. That's how I see it. I want to be able to go to the bottom of my road and have a drink. Because there's a very nice restaurant. You know the restaurant that we went for breakfast the other day, Calvin?
Yeah.
At the bottom of the road, yeah? Very nice place for breakfast. But now, nice a place like that, why would you put a DJ in there on a Friday night? So you just keep it food and wine and politeness. So there's two sides of the equation. Even the club owners or the bar owners have to also step back and say, what can we do different? Because there's nothing wrong with having a place you can go and have a drink in the hood that you live. I think.
I guess what's happened is most Kenyans get very comfortable, because if I can chill at this one spot, eat, drink, enjoy the music, maybe even until 3 a.m., I don't think I'd go anywhere else that would cost me maybe an extra buck to do something like that. So I guess it's that comfort zone that prevents most of us from exploring other options. And now you see club owners are gonna manipulate that. They're gonna go like, okay, so this is what you want. Then let's make some modifications in this establishment to accommodate this and that. And here we are. I guess I agree with you, G. Maybe it's time that we got into other things, started experimenting other things more, because it's going to give us more options. Because people club hop at the end of the day. You move from club A to club B to club C. So why not move from a kebab way to just chill vibes, you know, something nice. And then now later on into the night, you can go now to a more noisy place. Makes sense.
I hear you. I hear you, bro. I hear you. That's the truth, man. I guess we just have to adapt. And we can't adapt because we adapted during COVID, and that's what we can do. Anyhow, now, here's what we need to talk about.
There's more gist.
Are we going to invade Uganda on Friday or not? Because it won't take long to invade Uganda. We can do it We can invade Uganda on Friday and be back in Nairobi by Sunday.
Sunday, Friday afternoon, bro.
2 days, Sunday afternoon.
Friday afternoon.
if we launch offensive on Friday morning, we'll be nice by Friday night.
Quick swim, bro.
Last time I was in Uganda was last year, November, right? Mm. I think Uganda would whoop our ass, to be honest.
In war?
Bro, Uganda is active. Bro, like, have you been around Uganda? Like, you see, they've got, like, the regular police. They've got the guys in black and all of these different kind of things. Like, bro.
It's only the uniforms. Their cop uniforms are very intimidating. Why lie?
Yeah.
Like, they look like paramilitaries. Bro. Why lie? I mean, I haven't been there for a very long time. But
to add to my point, you saw Mr. Museveni, president himself, doing push-ups and everything. My man is fit. If that is how we're going to address, like, if we're going to have this whole conversation, if that is the military leader, right, cascading all the way down, if all of those mandem are fit like that, those guys can whoop us.
Nah, fam. Nah.
Nah.
Nah, fam. I'm not boarding.
Have you seen our university guys go against GSU? Now, Ebu, imagine combining just both of them. You haven't even gone anywhere else. Just combine the collective effort of university guys and the GSU. Just that. Or even a couple of high school guys. We haven't even gotten to the military.
Comrades.
Bro.
Chaos,
you know,
bro.
Here's the thing. Like, I've got a very fucked up explanation. That was point one. Point two. Now, point two is this. You know, Uganda already is like a pseudo-dictator nation, right?
A pseudo-dictator nation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
And on top of that, they are a landlocked country. You guys have been given freedom and told, invade a country with an ocean. Like, you can go towards an ocean, the end of land, into water. Why aren't you going to have more energy?
So what are they going to do, push us off?
Like, exactly.
Through a whole country? Are like, you mad?
Freedom.
Like, pushing us off, like, for a beach.
If anything, because we have a port, we can even have backup, bro. Like, we'd have backup everyone waiting at the port.
Bro, Kenya. Like, here's the thing.
We'd be far from also, good, bro. Like, we'd be amazing.
Point number three. These guys have been under the rule of one president, I think, since 1984. Right? These guys have so much energy in them. This is like high school boys. You guys are raging with all of those hormones and everything. So imagine Ugandans. Bro. Like, they've got all of the energy.
Let me tell you what will happen. These niggas are going to come fight us, and then they'll find that this is a very healthy environment for them. It's like a babe moving from a toxic relationship and then trying to fight someone who is healthy and someone who can give you the things that you've been wanting. What do you think is going to happen? They're going to come. It's going to be nice, bro. It's going to be like a holiday. It's going to be like a vacation.
I'm glad that you've used that whole example of a toxic, a babe moving from a toxic situation. Why the fuck do you think they always go back?
I know this, man.
Then we still win at the end of the day, I guess.
My thing is this, like, end of the day, like, I can't see a country that you mentioned them having the same dictator for all of these years, the same president for all of these years. They're complacent, fam. When's the last time they're so complacent? They have been spiritually battered. They do not believe they can win, no matter how they vote.
Listen,
they have been intellectually traumatized.
No. I think you're given
frustrated.
Listen, I think that you're out here trying to castigate Uganda a bit too much. You're saying that they've been demoralized, for lack of a better word, right? You are the same country that has seen corruption spiral into, like, uncontrollable levels all of these years, over and over and over again. Yet you claim to say, oh, Kenya has the freedom for this and that. And none of you guys even hit the streets. Kenyans are more complacent. Us guys would be whooped. Don't even try and act at you. We're so, oh my God, we have freedom. Only because we have Twitter and it's never been shut down.
Wow.
Okay.
Calvin, do you have a Ugandan babe or something? I don't know.
Me, I'm just for it. Like, I can see we being whooped. Like,
damn, the only way I'm fighting for you is if I'm coochie whipped, bro. Nah. Mm.
I don't know, man. I just kind of feel that we'd win still, but maybe you're right. Maybe
let me correct. Museveni's been president since 86.
Mm.
Yep.
86, you know.
Yep.
Wow. That's a long ass time.
Crazy.
Imagine. Oh, damn, guys, 1 second.
Yeah.
So for me, honestly, it was interesting seeing what's this guy called? The nominee for foreign affairs saying that he met with the ambassador for Uganda and had tea this morning for them to just discuss, and was like, yo, everything seems okay. I'm also seeing all of the tweets saying that my man's been, what, demoted or something.
What's his name? Mukuzi.
Yeah.
He's been demoted.
They've changed his rank.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's like the latest news. Yeah.
The Museveni's son has been demoted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, actually, there's a whole statement, actually. So, Uganda distances itself from fast child tweet rants. Ministry of Foreign Affairs of the Republic of Uganda has noted the debate on social media in respect to the relationship between Uganda and its brotherly neighbor, Kenya. The ministry wishes to emphasize that the government and the people of Uganda treasure the existing strong bilateral relationships between the people of Kenya and Uganda.
But I'm looking at the Nation website. It says President Museveni has promoted his son, Muhoozi, from the rank of Lieutenant General to a full general, coming amid recent controversial tweets about capturing Kenya. General is the highest rank in the hierarchy of Ugandan's army. Uganda's heir apparent was, however, dropped as commander of land forces.
And he is now appointed
Major General something something to replace his son.
Bro, this guy is trolling us or what?
Theatrics. Though? Yep, theatrics. Mm,
they're all trolling us.
Yeah.
So like, theatrics. Then he tweeted, I had a good discussion with my great father this morning. Apparently my tweet scared Kenyans too much. He will announce the changes. This is a special prayer I shall make for our army.
this is like Burna Boy chilling in his hotel room as they're just laughing and trolling like Kenyans while Kenyans are taking it seriously.
This is exactly like Burna Boy chilling in his hotel room, taking on the whole of Twitter while laughing.
I think this guy, you know, like when you look at his previous tweets, right? Like early this year, he was tweeting about his birthday party and saying all these babes from Rwanda and who that are coming, all of those kind of people, even said the President Uhuru was going to be there. Well, the retired president, right? So I think he actually knew about the change in rank coming. So he probably was just trying to like get PR around it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, more my than
man
the PR.
It's only, mine even tweeted, it's only 2 weeks to Nairobi. After our army captures Nairobi, where should I live? Westlands or Riverside?
Westlands. I loved it.
Oh, man.
Kenyans love this.
This is crazy. Absolutely crazy.
Yeah, man.
I would never beat up the Kenyan army because my father told me never to attempt it. So our people in Kenya should relax. This nigga is... man. I don't know. This nigga is trolling, guys.
Real he's having the time of his life.
Man, that is absolutely crazy. Absolutely. Anyway, guys, it's Monday.
Yo.
It's Tuesday, actually. Let me not get it right. Anything else?
It's whenever.
We bounce.
I think we can do it in the main pod
episode. All right, guys.
Yeah.
My name is G-Money.
Andy Young.
Big C.
Big C.
Wow.
Easy, guys.
Oh, man.